Isaiah chapter 41, we're going to read verse 13 and verse 14. And it says this: For I am the Lord your God who takes a hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear. I will help you. Do not be afraid, you worm Jacob. Little Israel, do not fear. For I myself will help you, declares the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. And as this year goes, like I've mentioned, and I'm sure many of you in your own personal life can truly say you have known and you have experienced and you have felt the help of God. You have felt and experienced the help of God. What was taught to us this up last Friday stuck with me, because one of the points that was said to us was, when we talk about this verse, we often think about help in tasks. God helps me to do certain things. God helps me to in my studies. God helps me at my work. God helps me in my family. God helps me to do this and to do that and to go here and to be there, which is true. He is the one who helps you to do things. But sometimes it's not just the action. When we're reading, I am your helper, I myself will help you, declares the Lord your Redeemer. Remember in the Bible and scripture that the Lord calls himself and he calls his spirit your helper. The Spirit of God is your helper. So sometimes what it is knowing that the helper is the essence of God. It's the personality of God. It's the trait of God. It's a description of who he is. To say he is our helper describes the nature of God. So the nature of God is to help, and his nature is exemplified in all that he does. He is the Redeemer. He saves. And we can see that in every part of our life, in everything we do. In Psalms chapter 46, verse 1 to 3, you can turn in your Bible to Psalms chapter 46, verses 1 to verse 3. It reads like this, and it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and though the waters thereof roar and troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, we will not fear. That is what is written in these first three verses. We will not fear. This psalm is written by the sons of Korah. And the sons of Korah writes it for all of Israel. Anybody who believes in God, anybody who trusts in God, anybody who has accepted salvation, this psalm right here is written for you. That I know my God is my help, my ever-present help in the day of trouble. So I will not fear. In the face of a world that is shaking, in the face of a world where all the mountains are crumbling down, where all of the earth is totally shifting, where the waters are crashing, where the things are changing, where they give us bad news every single day, and the world as we know it is falling apart, we can still stand and say, our God is our refuge and our strength, and I shall not fear. I shall not fear. Look to the person beside you and say, you shall not fear. You shall not fear, because your God is your refuge, your strength, your very present help. I look to my God as helper. I look to my God as my father, my healer, my strength, my refuge, my rock. He is my helper. He stands with me. He stands with me even as the world is crumbling and falling apart. And sometimes we get locked in on this narrative that it's always God takes you away from all the hard times, and God must take you away from the difficult things, and I should never go through anything difficult. But the Bible writes to us, Jesus looks to his disciples and he says, the time has come for the Son of God, the Son of Man, to die, to be killed, and to raise again. And all the disciples immediately stopped and said, no, you can't say that. Peter, our best friend Peter, who always said whatever was on his mind, When all the winds and the waves were crashing and everybody was scared, Peter says, no, no, I want to walk on the water. And when Peter was standing there, and right before that verse, right before that moment, he goes, you, Jesus, are the Son of God. And now he has to hear that Jesus is going to suffer. And he says, no, Jesus, never you. You're not going to suffer. You're not going to die. And the Lord immediately says, get behind me, Satan. Because the most beautiful part of having God as your helper is to say that you can go through the storm, that you can go through the difficult time. And the part that we always miss and we always skip over is, and rise again. He will rise again. And Jesus rose again. So if you're going through a hard time in your life, you look to the helper and you remember, and God is with me. And God rose again. And God is my refuge. And God is my strength. And God is my healer. And surely you will see the healing and the power and the victory of God. And God. And God was with him. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. He had to face the punishment. If it was me, maybe I would think that God wasn't real anymore because I did everything right and I still got thrown into the lion's den. If I was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I would have thought, if I prayed to God, I should have never been thrown into the fiery furnace. And if I said, oh my God, I don't deserve this at all, and I let him go, I would never have gotten to experience what it was like to be in the lion's den and the lion's mouths be shut. Because, and God was with him in there. God was with him in the lion's den. He might have been thrown in there, but God was still with him. You might be going through the midst of it. The Israelites were going through it. They were running. The waters are rising around them. And God was still with them. David was going and he was fighting and he lost everything. He lost everything. They stole everything. And his very team, his very people who were standing with him immediately turned on them and said, we're going to kill you. We have lost everything. And yet, David won everything back, and yet God was with David. And I tell you today, as the word writes and says, God is with you. This psalm is such a wonderful song because if you remember in the book of Numbers chapter 26 and verse 10, it writes to us about the history of the sons of Korah. It writes to us about the ancestors of the sons of Korah. They were standing there after their forefathers were disobedient. They were standing there after their forefathers were rebellious, and all of a sudden the earth started to shake. The earth started to move, and they're looking around and they're thinking, why is the earth shaking? And they heard a loud piercing sound like this crack of thunder, and it was loud, but all of a sudden they felt heat, and they thought to themselves, there's no thunderstorm, there's no rain, but the earth is shaking, and the heat of the fire that came from the middle of the floor as it erupted and as it grew and swallowed 250 men. These sons of Korah watched as their loved ones, their cousins, their friends were all burning in the fire because of their disobedience. And in Numbers chapter 16, it says that this was a warning. This was a warning to them. In Numbers chapter 26, verse 10, it said it served as a warning. And in Numbers chapter 16, verse 32, it says that the earth swallowed them up whole. So if anyone's able to sing this song, it's the sons of Korah. To say, I do not fear anything in this world. I don't fear anyone and anything. The only one I fear is God. The only one I put my trust in is God. The only one I put my respect in is God. Those who are redeemed and who knows what it feels like to witness the destruction, to know I could have really died. I really could have been put into the pit. I could have been swallowed up by fire. You stand and you sing, my God is my refuge, my strength in my ever-present trouble. He is my help. Because you know what that feels like. You know what it feels like to be standing at the edge, almost falling into the fire, and this great big hand grabbed you and ripped you back. And it planted you on firm ground and said, I am the rock of ages. I am with you. That is the first thing we can learn from the sons of Korah, that we should always fear God. We should always have the fear of God in our lives. It served them as a warning. And the Bible is true, and the Bible writes what is correct. And it writes to us in the book of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you want to be wise and make good decisions about your life, if you want to get out of the trap that has been set for you, if you want to be able to discern the things that you should do and that you shouldn't do, if you want to lead your family down the right path, if you want to make sure that all the mistakes that you have made never have an impact on your future, you fear God and you be obedient to His word, and God rewrites your story. He gives you wisdom, He gives you strength, and He pushes you. My God, He says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And He says, fear God and shun evil. Take it out of your life. Do not bring it into your life. Do not turn to the left or to the right. Keep your foot from evil. Look to God, who is your helper in the face of evil. And evil is lurking everywhere these days, everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. Evil things are being spoken about. Evil things are seen. You hear evil things. Sometimes we find ourselves doing evil things. But the Bible says, fear God and shun evil. And this leads to long life. And long life does not mean 80 years, 70 years, 90 years. No, long life is eternity. Long life is spending your days in the presence of God. Long life is living and dwelling with God at your side. And so the sons of Korah, who witnessed the destruction, they fear nothing. They don't fear if the world is shaking. They don't fear if the world is on fire. They don't fear if the seas are roaring. They don't fear if the mountains come falling down. They look to God and say, God, only you can save us. Only you can be with us. And surely God does save those who call out to Him. Surely God does save those who seek Him. And surely God does what His word says, and He is with you. So we must learn the fear of God from the sons of Korah. And every day, when you read this scripture and you pray, and you're standing before a holy God, a God who has no blemish, a God who sees your very thought, a God who knows every single thing in your heart, that is when the fear of God comes inside of you, because you realize, I am not worthy. I am not worthy to witness His presence. I am not worthy of the blessing of God. Who am I? I'm just a worm. I'm just nothing. I am just dust. But this great big God of the universe loves me and chose me and spends time with me. And it comes to me as a blessing that He would be so mindful of me. So to the young people, to the parents, to all the adults in this room, to all the children in this room, pray, read the word of God, grow, know the fear of God. He is your friend. He is your brother. He is beside you, but He is still God, almighty, powerful, awesome. He is everything, and we ought to respect everything that God is, every face of who He is. So fear God and shun evil. Spend time with your word and spend time with prayer. I mean really the Bible. I don't mean a book. I mean really the Bible. Even if it's just one chapter that you're reading, read it. We were challenged in our youth group this last Friday, because we come up here all the time and we say, just one chapter, just 5 minutes, just start with that. That's true. But she challenged us to 1 hour in the presence of God. And she said, when you start, it's going to be hard. Because you don't know that. The time is just ticking, it's ticking, it's not moving forward. But as you spend more time, as you spend more time, as you spend more time in the presence of God, then all of a sudden that 1 hour you'll find yourself saying 5 more minutes, 10 more minutes, 15 more minutes, and then you want more and more and more. One of my memories of my father just actually this last fasting period, or it must have been the one in 2024, I don't quite remember. But we were sitting in the office getting ready for prayer, which was starting at 7 o'clock. At 6:45, he came inside the sanctuary and he saw the people were gathered together and he saw some people talking and he came right back out to the office area. And I said, what are you doing here? Why aren't you standing inside in the sanctuary? And he said, well, you know what? I still have 10 more minutes. Let me read. And he stood there and he was just reading his Bible. Because when you find the value, and when you find the importance, and when you invest in Scripture, and you're standing before this Almighty God, you can't help but say, God, I want to know you more. God, I want to hear from you. God, show me who you are. When was the last time you really sat with your Bible? When was the last time you read this Scripture? When was the last time you said, God, I want to know who you are? Not, I want you to do this for me. I need you to help me. I want you to do this. I need to do this. What am I supposed to do? Not that, just who are you? Who are you, God? And the sons of Korah, they knew who he was because they said, he is my refuge. That's who he is. He is my rock. That's who he is. He is my fortress. That's who he is. He is my shepherd. That's who he is. I will not fear. Even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and there are seasons where you will walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God is with me at all times. My ever-present help in the day of trouble. My ever-present help in the day of trouble is Jesus. Though the waters come and the fear comes, we have to trust and have confidence. Reading the Scripture makes you have confidence in God. Some of us have a lot of confidence in ourselves. I can do it by myself. I can do it by myself. And we put God in little places. And so then it makes it seem like I'm doing everything with God. But no, that's not the confidence that the sons of Korah had at all. That's not the confidence that David had at all. That's not the confidence Moses had at all. That's not even the confidence Jesus had. They all had confidence in God the Father, that God was with them, that the Holy Spirit was with them. And how did they get to that place? By spending time in the presence of God and asking, show me who you are. He said, show me your face. Moses prayed, show me your face. Who are you? Who are you? Show me who you are. Jesus was always found somewhere praying by himself. He found moments all alone by himself to pray and seek the face of God. David was always singing and dancing and worshiping and crying and mourning and rejoicing. He was telling God everything. And he said, I want to know you more. I need to know you more. I want to know you more. And they were confident. There's an evangelist. Her first name is Martha, but I don't quite remember her last name. But she and her husband were organizing, and her husband was the pastor. And she was organizing this trip for all these kids, and there were 24 kids and 3 adults who accompanied. They got on their church bus, and they all went to the place that they were, you know, having their field trip, and now they're on their way back. They're on their way back, and a drunk driver hit that bus. And all 24 kids and 3 adults died. Can you imagine the pastor and his wife? Can you imagine the parents and the families of all these people? That's scary. And now the pastor and his wife were the first people that were contacted because the bus was registered under the church and they were the ones who are point of contact. So they get a call from the police. And they say the bus has been crashed and we've brought everybody into the hospital, but nobody has made it. Not one of the adults, not one of the kids. Everybody's gone. And now the pastor and the pastor's wife have to personally call every single one of those kids' parents and all the families of those three adults and tell them, can you please come to church? We need to talk to you. Can you come to the hospital? We need to talk to you. And everything that they expected happened. Everybody cried. Everybody wept. Everybody screamed. Everybody was in so much pain. Of course, if you're a parent in this room, you would definitely do the same. If you're a family member of someone in this room, you would absolutely do the same. But she tells the story of this one particular man. He came in with his wife and his other son. And they were sitting there. Their son who passed was 17 years old. And the pastor said, brother, I'm sorry. Your son has passed away. There was an accident. There was a drunk driver. He's passed away. And the father sat there for a moment. And then he stood to his feet. And he raised his hands and he said, Father, I thank you for 17 years with my son. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you for making me laugh. Thank you for teaching me to grow. Thank you for everything you have done for me for 17 years. And he started to sing a song of praise to God. And the pastor and the pastor's wife were taken aback and they thought to themselves, what is going on? How is he acting this way? How is he reacting this way? And they said, and then the Holy Spirit spoke to them and they said that we could clearly hear the voice of the Holy Spirit say, it's because he is confident in me. It's because he loves me. It's because he spends time with me. He is in pain and it's a lot of struggle and it hurts him inside. He is hurt. But on the outside, God is my rock, my fortress, my ever-present help in the day of trouble. So even if my world is falling apart, I will not fear. And she finished off her story saying, it takes more. It takes more than just a Sunday service and prayer around the dinner table to make this kind of faith and confidence come into your life. It takes a relationship. It takes investment of time in the presence of God. And the sons of Korah spent time in the presence of God. And they continued to write and say, I will not fear. So many things in this world cause you to have fear. Some of you might be sitting in your chair right now having fear, financial troubles, fear of your addiction and troubles because of your addiction, fear because of what's going to happen to your family and trouble in your family, fear because you don't know what the future is going to look like and you just feel like there's trouble. Fear comes in and it grips your heart and it steals from you. The sons of Korah were told the same thing, do not fear. And all throughout the Bible, everyone and anyone in different experiences of their life, to Moses, do not fear, to Gideon, do not fear, to the Israelites, do not fear. The prophets said, do not fear. Then Joshua, do not fear. David, do not fear. Jesus to the disciples, do not fear. Over and over, do not fear. Instead, look to God who is your refuge and your strength in your ever-present troubles. He is there as your help. My God is helper. He is helper. He is helper. So do you have this confidence in God? Not in man, but in God. That God, you are the one who saves me. If you are in any trouble, and just think about your life right now. If you are in any trouble, if you have any kind of a fear that is in your heart or any worry that is in your heart, you just have to look to the hills from where comes my help. My help comes from the creator of heaven and earth. And he will be with you and he will help you. And we learn this from the life of Korah, where they are all just trusting and believing in God and they're confident. Finally, my brothers and sisters, be strong, be confident in the Lord and in his mighty power. Be confident in the power of God. Be confident in the might of God. Be confident that God has it figured out. Be confident that you can let go and let God take over. Be confident and put your trust and be confident and put your faith and be confident and give it to God. Because after they wrote all of this, they jumped down. If we go into verse 5, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her just at the break of dawn. Just at the break of dawn. When I used to work in night shifts, there were these huge windows that were along the sides of the hospital. And when you worked on a certain side of the hospital, because where the sun would rise up, and only on the night shift, when it was dark all night, all of a sudden there would come a moment in the beginning or the end of the night shift, beginning of the day shift, where the sun would just tiny start coming, and all of a sudden it would be bright and it would fill that whole hallway. You couldn't even look down the hall because the sun was piercing you. But it was a split second. It was just a millisecond of time where there was nothing and it was darkness, and all of a sudden it was bright and it was shining and you couldn't see. And when I read this verse and I saw that God will help me at the break of dawn, sometimes it feels like there is nothing and you are trying and you are searching and you are looking and it's dark and you can't see and you can't hear and you can't feel, but all of a sudden, if you keep looking out that window, all of a sudden the sun will come and it will break, and you know the morning is here and the morning has come and God has helped you and God has been with you. Right at that split second, he comes and he sweeps in and he saves you. Right at that split second, he came and he shut the lion's mouth. Right at that split second, he came and he stood in the fire. Right at that split second, he took the stone and made sure it landed on Goliath's head. Right at that split second, the Red Sea parted. Right at that split second, your miracle is waiting for you. So you never stop going to God as your helper. And you never rely on yourself, but you look to God who is your helper. He is help, the essence of who God is. And it says, God is within her. Who is her? The bride of Christ, the Israelites. They're all the house of Israel. They're called her. The bride, the church is called her. So anybody in this room, if you believe in Jesus, this verse is for you. Because it says, God is within me. The help is in me. The helper lives inside of me. God is here inside of your heart right now while you sit. You are not helpless. You are not a lost cause. There is a future for you. There is a hope for you. And he is within me and he helps me. Incorporate it into every day. I might not possess it yet. I might not have my miracle yet. It still might be dark. It still might be blinding. It still might be like I'm just shooting darts in the darkness. But all of a sudden, that help that is within me, as I spend time in the presence of God, as I spend time getting to know him, as I spend time saying, God, I want to know you. I want to hear you. I want to know you. I want to hear you. Right at that split second when you feel like everything is over, all of a sudden his help comes at the break of dawn, and he helps you and he assists you, and you just raise your hands and say, God, I trusted in you, and you did not let my hope go to waste. You did not let me be embarrassed, oh God, but you just made sure that those who hope in the Lord and those who wait in the Lord and those who seek out the Lord, they soar high above the mountains and they are made victorious in the name of Jesus. So I thank God for the things that the sons of Korah have remembered and what they have written for us, because they remind us every day that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Though all of these things happen, finally be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So do not be afraid, you worm of Jacob, little Israel, do not fear. For I myself will help you, declares the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. And then he says to us, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And if God is for us, who can be against us? So I want to challenge everybody in this room. If you have a sickness this day, if you have an addiction this day, if you have a fear in your heart, if you have problems in your family, if something is going on with your parents, if something is going on in your marriage, if something is going on with your child, if something is going on in your career and in your workplace, if something is going on in your school, I want you to remember it right now. And I want you to stand to your feet as the worship team comes to the stage. And I want you to remember your fears. And I want you to remember the things that are holding you back, and I want you to remember the things that are causing you to just be nervous in the presence of God, and give it to God and say, God, you are my rock, my refuge. You are the one who is my help. You are the one who I call. You are the one who I look to. This is my confidence, oh God. This is what I believe. I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in the name of Jesus. So lift up your hands and lift up your problem. Say the name of your children. Say the name of your family. Say the issues that you are facing. Name whatever is going on in your life. Say, God, I need financial deliverance. God, I need healing from pain. God, I need healing from my illness. God, I need healing, oh Lord God, for the wounds in my heart. God, I need your help. God, I need your help. You are the helper. You are within me. And because you are within me, oh God, you will make sure at the break of dawn that you will help me. That you will be with me, that you will guide me.